past my bedtime. At 10 o'clock, I had a choking milk. I go to sleep. So I came out here to see what the mountain air is like. You know, it says, well, actually, it's cooler here than it is in Beit Shemesh. You know? I think so. Okay, I'm just going to speak a little bit about Tisha B'Av, or Yom Tisha B'Av, since it's this coming Shabbos. There's a Mishnah, Masechet Megillah, a very famous Mishnah. The Mishnah writes that if Shabbos B'Tamuz falls out on Shabbos, we defer it to Sunday. You don't push it back. The Gemara is a famous cloud. The Gemara says that Akdume Puranusa lo bekadmina. When it comes to Puranus, namely when it comes to something which has to do with punishment, and Tisha B'Av obviously, as the Gemara says in Tainus, relates to the Churban HaMikdash, and the Tisha B'Av happens to be a day that's etched in infamy. Many events that occurred on Tisha B'Av, and many of them were not, shall we say, so in Hebrew you would say, so sympathetic. They claim that even Jews who were expelled from Spain in 1492, that happened on Tisha B'Av. I'm not a historian. But whatever the case is, the Mishnah says in Masechet Megillah that if Shabbos of the Talmud falls on Shabbos, so then the halacha is we defer it till Sunday, don't push it back because of this principle. And in general, we don't like to accelerate the arrival of Puranus. Those who know about our relationship to Eretz Yisrael, and thank God I've had the great schluss of living in Eretz Yisrael for the last 22 years, Kein Yirbu, I should be zochet to Asrot Shanim, of living in Eretz Yisrael, and actually there are others here also, the Shagamkin Zachu. As far as Eretz Yisrael is concerned, so we have a very special relationship with Eretz Yisrael. We've observed, obviously, hundreds and hundreds of Tisha B'Av, and although they are seemingly distant experiences, that's not our perspective. Anyone who studies Jewish history knows that we're very into, literally, seeing Jewish history as being right in front of us. It's the past is a living reality for us. It's not simply a relationship, which often you see, actually, in the secular world, that they have mythical heroes that they admire, that they adulate. That's not the way we view it. We actually, I'm not studying archaeology, the history that we are viewing is actually something that's very connected to and very relevant to us. It's not a dead past, it's something that's actually, we see very much in the present. The present anticipates the future. And without it, the whole enterprise of Tisha B'Av would be totally ludicrous. There's a Yerushalmi that is often quoted, a very famous Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, Kol dor, shelo nivne besamidish v'yamav, kilu nechra v'yamav. If you have a generation that the Beis HaMikdash was not rebuilt in its days, it's as if the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And actually, if you read the keynotes of Tisha B'Av, one of the keynotes that we are going to say is the following. B'leil zeh yivkoyin banai. And this night, our sons are weeping. B'leil zeh chara Beis HaMikdash. And that night, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And without this sensitivity, it would be contrary to observe the whole idea of Avelus. Avelus, as you know, the Gemara says in Yevamos, the Gemara's a famous distinction between what the Gemara calls Avelus Yishona and Avelus Chadasha. There are two types of Avelus, two genres. There's God forbid an Avelus where a person loses a relative, God forbid a person loses a close relative that you're obligated to mourn for. That's called Avelut Chadasha. That's called a new kind of Avelus, new in the sense that it's fresh, the grief is obvious, a person loses a close karov, and obviously a person feels it in a very strong, overpowering kind of way. And then there's what's called Avelus Yishona. Avelus Yishona means old Avelus, or historical Avelus, that relates to the Churban HaMikdash, relates to all events that occurred in our past history. So Avelus Chadasha, God forbid, begins with an intensity that's obviously when a person realizes that I've been torn from my moorings and you lost a close relative. And of course, that Avelus is the most intense at the very outset. And then little by little, that Avelus, of course, over a period of Yud Beis Chodesh, if it's for a father or mother, God forbid, that Avelus obviously diminishes. And there are different levels, and they're different, as you know, there's the Yom HaMisa itself, and then the Shiva, and then the Shloshim, and then there's Yud Beis Chodesh, and many different halachas apply actually during these different segments, and that's in the classic, what's called Avelus Chadash. Avelus Yishona, there's a buildup. The buildup is from Shavuos HaMetamos, which was approximately almost 2 weeks ago, and there are parallel also elements in Avelus Yishona, historical Avelus, that Achronim speak about. But there's a language of the Pasuk in Eicha, where the Pasuk says, Kol Rofeah hi Sigua Bein HaMitzorim. Bein HaMitzorim, how do you translate that? Bein HaMitzorim really refers to the word Meitzah. Min HaMeitzah Karosika, which is a Pasuk in Tillim, and HaMeitzah means straight. From the straitened circumstances, S-T-R-A-T, E-N-E-D, such as the Straits of Magellan. They believe the Straits of Magellan. They were the five towns. He said there were five towns. I don't think there are Straits of Magellan in the five towns. But anyway, there's a term that's called straight in circumstances. And so the Chazal comment that all the tzaras of Klal Yisrael dafka occurred during this period of time. During the period of time between Shavuot and Tammuz and, shall we say, Tisha B'Av. And as a matter of fact, it's clear from the Yerushalmi, based on the Pasuk of Yirmiyahu, where the Navi says, at the beginning of Yirmiyahu, the Navi points out, Makel Shaked Ani Ra'eh, Ufana B'nei Tzafona. He saw Makel Shaked. Makel is an almond tree. How long does it take for an almond tree to blossom? So it says in the Yerushalmi, 3 week period of time. And this was the 3 week efflorescence, or if you will, the development of events that were not so, as I say, sympathetic to Klal Yisrael, that occurred between Shavuot and Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. And there's clearly, therefore, a connection between these two. And we know that during this period of time, normally the Haftarah that we read, well, what is the Haftarah supposed to be connected to? What does the Gemara say in the Gillah? Haftarah is connected to what? Whenever we have on Shabbos, we read the Pasha, and then you read the Haftarah. What's the Haftarah connected to? Normally the Haftarah is connected to what? In some form or fashion, to the Pasha that we read. Chazal, in general, try to choose a Haftarah which has thematically themes that are connected, that are in affinity with the Pasha that we read. However, during this 3 week period of time, what happens? We read special Haftaras. We read actually Haftaras that are not necessarily connected, but they're more connected not to the Pasha, but rather to what's called in Yonah Diyom, during this period of time, which is a very sad and very, as I said, eventful and even tragic, I would say, period of time. Now, I just mentioned a number of distinctions between these two types of Avelos in very general. I'm not saying Yeshiva Hilchos Avelos, I could, but I'm not going to do that because that would probably bore you to tears. I'm trying not to do so at this hour of the night. But anyway, just in general, in speaking, shall we say, sketching from a very general kind of outline, in Avelos Diyachid, regardless of the person loses a close relative, so the Mishnah writes, as I've heard, the Mishnah says, Hashem Yerim, Ein Aninus El Bolei. There's a Lashon, Mishnah, Ein Aninus El Bolei. Meaning, where does a person really feel it? Of course, there are outward actions that a person has to carry on, has to carry out, but the inner experience is that which is critical. I mean, when a person loses a close relative, in our yeshiva, we just lost the mankal of our yeshiva. He was killed several weeks ago. A little over the shloshim occurred just about a week ago, and I was very close to him. And the loss to me is absolutely almost incalculable. I can't even begin to describe the loss that I feel as if I lost literally a brother. God forbid, Rachman and son, don't you lose anyone. And he was a tremendous tzaddik and really a person who was a ish chazon, someone who was a dreamer and a builder, and someone who was a very charismatic person in his own sanua way, in his own modest and very unpretentious kind of way. And that loss is something that you feel believed. You feel it in your heart. You feel it very, very strongly in your heart. And I, in general, I have difficulties living at night. And now I have even more difficulties living at night. I just think about him all the time. And I think about how such Hashem took such a tzaddik. But the pasuk says, beginning of Bereishis, by Yisali Chano Hasel Elokim Beinenu, Ki Loka Hasel Elokim. He was like taken by some force beyond me, and I can't, as I said, don't fully understand it. But the fact of the matter is that when tragedy strikes and it envelops one's entire personality, it is a personal tragedy. That's called Avelos Chadosha. Avelos Chadosha means where a person loses a car. In the case of historical Avelos, many of us, if not all of us, maybe some of you perhaps connect with it more, I find it very difficult to connect to the Avelos of the Churban HaMikdash. Extremely difficult, because it's a historical, it's events that occurred thousands of years ago, and we don't really connect with it in a very personal kind of way, and it's very hard for us, even those, shall we say, who are studying, who study the Churban HaMikdash, even those who learn Kachim, those who learn about Karbonos, who learn the Sugis and Zvachim and Menachis, and what have you, maybe I feel a bit more connected to it, but still, it's not something that exactly we are, on a daily basis, involved in, so it's much harder to connect, really, so therefore, in the case of Avelos Chadosha, where the tragedy is fresh, so a person is confronted with death, and you respond in a very emotional kind of way, and your observance of Avelos is a total observance of Avelos, Mashenken, Avelos Hishona, historical Avelos, that already is, shall we say, something that we have to, in a slow way, we have to begin to absorb, and somehow acculturate to it, and osmotically come close to it, and try to understand it. The Mishnah writes in Maseches Tainis, or Rosh Chodeshav, Mimatim Besimcha. Mishenichas Av, you may have heard this expression, Mimatim Besimcha. We diminish the amount of simcha that we have in our lives. What does that mean? What is practical? What does that mean practically? The Mishnah does not tell us. The Rambam actually, Hilchos Taanias, doesn't even tell you. Normally, when the Rambam quotes halacha, he would enumerate more specifically the activities that are forbidden. He does not do so. Because we want to try to create, if you will, a certain kind of atmosphere. Memati b'simcha, we try to diminish. There's a very well-known halacha that probably you are familiar with, that we should try not to have dine Torah with non-Jews during this period of time. It's not a time which is, quote-unquote, mazel day. It's not a time which is considered to be, shall we say, something which is of a positive kind of nature. And therefore, that's why Chazal felt there's a need to go ahead and somehow try to create an atmosphere which will be, shall we say, hopefully get us into the whole idea of what it's all about. Okay, so I'm not going to go through this, some of the specifics of what I had in mind, but it's not necessary, but I would like to speak in general terms, and by speaking of the following, and this you are certainly unquestionably familiar with. I mean, all of us have been to weddings, and we know at a wedding there's something that's done under the chuppah, which is to commemorate the chuppah HaMikdash. What's that? Bring the glass. That's the most familiar to us, Gemara Brachos. And Gemara also has at the end of the third paragraph of Bavasa, the last da, the last omen of Masechet Bavasa. Has Sabbatim, the Gemara there tells us about also a number of other takonos that Chazal were misaking. For example, this is one that I don't see often in the Chutz Laaretz, but I see it in Eretz Yisrael a lot. Gemara says, "Shesod Adam is based on the seed. Mishari ba'ama alama. He's supposed to leave an area behind the door, an ama alama, an ama six tefachim. Six tefachim by six tefachim, how much is a tefach? An inches? 3.4 inches, 3.5 inches, probably machlekes. But anyway, so you're supposed to leave an area above the door, which is not painted, which you basically, why is that so? And Chutz Laaretz, every time I go to someone's home, I just accidentally look for that. Very rare do I find it. This ama alama, and that's a cell here, it's quite... quite prominent. What's the basis for that? Zeicha lemikdash. Or, for example, what else in the chuppah, besides the breaking of the glass, there's also another practice mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, mentioned by Chazal, mentioned by the Poskim, that's done on the head of the chassan. What do they put on the head of the chassan?
Ashes.
Ashes. And again, also, the idea is that based on this idea of zeicha lemikdash. Matter of fact, that it's the idea when ashes are put on the head of the chassan, and also under the chuppah, often they do sing, even in Chutz Laaretz they sing, Im eshkachech Yerushalayim tishkach yimineh. You're familiar with that. That's a pasuk, a very famous pasuk, about the Gedru Shalayim, Chas V'Shalom. And so we have a whole series of takonos that I mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. Right after, it's interesting, in the context of Hilchos Taanios and Tisha B'Av, right after that you have these dinim I found in Shulchan Aruch HaRachayim, these dinim that I mentioned are things that one should do, Zeicha LeMikdash. And the interesting thing is that Gemara actually refers to other takonos of Yechon Ben Zakkai that he enacted Zeicha LeMikdash. Gemara quotes a pasuk, it's a Gemara in Sukkah, in the Malach. The Gemara says that Ke'ele Arucha Umimakosech Epoich Numashem Ki Nidocha Karolucha Tzioni Dorish Elam Kalibayt Risha, something like that. The Gemara says that Tzion requires Risha, that one has to seek out Tzion, one has to actually make a valued effort to seek out Tzion. The Gemara calls this Pasuk in Yirmiyahu HaNavi. The question is, why does the Gemara call the Pasuk of Imeshkachech Yerushalayim? That Pasuk we recite under the Chuppah. Why should that pasuk not be cited over here? That would seem to be more appropriate, more apropos, more relevant. Why is it more quote a pasuk in Yirmiyahu has to go, the Mecha Tobi Lachma has to bring a pasuk from far away in order to prove the Gemara's point? So I heard from my Rebbe, I heard from Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal. He said that you see that there are apparently two psukim, there are two types of Zeicha LeMikdash. There are two types of takonos, the Chazal, the Saki, Zeicha LeMikdash. One he called Zeicha LeMikdash B'Tifarto. Zeicha LeMikdash means basically to remember the Mikdash in its glory and splendor. And that's the reason, for example, there's a mitzvah, Min HaTorah, which is actually only one day. This mitzvah is only obligatory one day, Min HaTorah. In the Beis HaMikdash, this mitzvah is relevant all 7 days. Which mitzvah is that? And which Yom Tov? Yom Tov Sukkot. Which mitzvah are we talking about? Lulav. The mitzvah Lulav Tosfos says in Emor, "Rekachta mechem b'yom ha'rishon, priyetzav kapas tvarim anav itzav ziyav inochal." So outside of Eretz Yisrael or outside of the Mikdash, the mitzvah is only obligatory, only operative one day. However, it says in the pasuk, "Usmachtem la'Hashem lekechem shivas yomim." In the Beis HaMikdash, there the lulav was taken for a period of 7 days. What do we do today? All over the world, we're outside the Mikdash. According to the Rambam, Yerushalayim is part of Mikdash. But here, I don't think. I'm not sure what the status of Beit Meir is. Moshav Beit Meir, that's where you are presently. Is that part of Yerushalayim? They celebrate Purim here on Tezvav? They don't. Even though it's Samach Menira. So they don't celebrate on Tezvav. They celebrate on Yudalot. So even Beit Meir is not part of Yerushalayim. And yet, they take the lulav here all 7 days. Why is that so? The answer is, Avnecha ben Zakeh ben Takana, take the lulav all 7 days. Why? Zeicha LeMikdash. Just like there was a din with smachtem la'Hashem Elokeinu Shivas Yomim, Direct the Torah says in the Beis Hamikdash itself. So too, outside the Mikdash, we do it. Why? We want to try to remember the Beis Hamikdash to the extent that we can. So essentially, this Rav Soloveitchik called Zechel HaMikdash B'Tifarto, in its glory and splendor. Why is that so? You'll see in a moment. But is there any distinction the way I carry out the mitzvah today than it was carried out Bizman HaMikdash in the area of the Mikdash? I'll say Yerushalayim according to the Rambam, and the Mikdash according to everyone. Usmachtim B'Tnei HaShem HaGinim Shivas Yom. The answer is no, it's the same Lula. What's the mitzvah of lulav? How does Gemara say? Midag be nothing there. The moment you pick up the lulav, you have a kind of mitzvah. Correct? Lekicha. Ulekachtim lachem bayom barisha. There's a very nice sefer on Masechta Sukkah. One day, Mitzvah Hashem, when you learn Masechta Sukkah b'iyun, there's a sefer by Rabbi Reichman, one of the Rosh Yeshiva of YU. He's a Talmud Gufa Rav Soloveitchik. He wrote a number of beautiful svarim, and Mitzvah Hashem, he should produce many more. I may have yesim shana. So one of the svarim he wrote is Rishima Shurim and Sukkah. So there he discusses this yisod, but also he mentions the second type of Zechel HaMikdash, which is called Zechel HaMikdash B'Churbano. What's the example of Zechel HaMikdash B'Churbano? The answer is all the things we do, shall we say, to be misabel, to mourn the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, mourn the loss of the fact that we no longer have the Beis HaMikdash, that is something which is Zechel HaMikdash B'Churbano. The reason why Rav Soloveitchik said this is the pasuk in Eicha. He said, we read in the beginning of Eicha, the Navi says, Zachwa Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim remembers Yimei Anya Umirudeha. What does it mean Yimei Anya Umirudeha? It's days of woe. Yimei Anya Umirudeha. It's days when Yerushalayim was, shall we say, suffering. And then the next few words say, Kol Machamudeha Shehoilam Yimekedim. All the days of glory and splendor. So what do you see in the Pasuk? There's an obligation to remember Yerushalayim from a twofold perspective. From a dual perspective. Number one, to remember Yerushalayim, Kol Machamudeha, the days of yore, the good days, the good old days. Correct? I grew up in New York City. Anyone come from New York City? Are there 50 people in New York City? Five towns are not part of New York City? Or they seceded? Five towns. They're not part of New York City. Anyone here comes from New York City? Oh, Baruch Hashem. Where in New York do you live?
Queens.
Queens! Wow, the borough of Queens. Are they still there? The Mets? They're not doing too well. When I was in New York City, I grew up in the shadow of Yankee Stadium. And the New York Yankees were, of course, in my days, they were the Gainim of the generation. Are they still the Gainim of the generation? No, they've really underwent a rather massive diminution in the last number of years. Decades! That's because I left New York City. What could I do? It's my school said they were Matzliach. You don't remember those people. Mickey Mantle, Roger Maris. Daily Elam. Wow. Gainim. Are you a baseball fan? Yeah? Not really? What area of sports are you into? Nothing really? What? That's not possible. And you're Jewish? Not possible. So what are you into? What do you enjoy doing?
What do I enjoy doing?
Yes?
Learning Torah.
Are you normal? Oh, Hashem, wow. Where you come from?
Woodmere.
Wow, that explains it. That's Queens also, though. That's a lot of Queens. The Five Towns also? So all people in the Five Towns are into Divin HaTorah. Would you not be in as well?
Yeah.
Rabbi Miller is a classmate of mine. Baruch Hashem. They're wonderful people. They're outstanding. Wow. Who got you into Torah? How'd you do that? Maybe you'll help me. I need some assistance. A lot of them. Maybe you'll be able to help me? Why are you so reticent? Why are you so hesitant? I need a lot of assistance. Anyway, I'm just pointing out you have a pasuk. And the pasuk says, Zocho Yerushalayim, Yimei Anya Merudeha, Kol Machamudeha, Shehoilam Yimekedem. In the pasuk itself, you see these two aspects. Correct? On the one hand, Yerushalayim has its beautiful aspects, and Yerushalayim also has its other aspects. Yimei Anya Merudeha. So Rav Soloveitchik said, built into that pasuk are these, you know, brisk, you heard of brisk, undoubtedly, you heard the Torah. Tzvei Dinim. Everything is Tzvei Dinim. The whole world is Tzvei Dinim. Tov and Ra, Tzvei Dinim. But Tzvei Dinim, we have here, Zechel HaMikdash B'Tifarto, Zechel HaMikdash B'Churbano. Zechel HaMikdash in its good time, and Zechel HaMikdash without such a good time. So anyway, the reason why I mentioned all this, I'll just give you an example of what I'm referring to. This says, there are many, many elements here that one could actually expatiate, one could expand on in great length. I'll give you a sip. There's a famous question that's raised by the Taisim of Masechet Megillah. They says the Kasha, that why is it that we count the Omer? Direct Sfiras Omer, you're familiar with that? Ah, you have a Kollel insignia. Wow. It's great. Wow. I never was like to any of this. I didn't have such the luxury of going in a Kollel, NCSY Kollel in the summer, the winter. Was there NCSY in my days? Maybe there was.
The organization existed, not this particular program.
Okay, Baruch Hashem. Ashrecha, Ashrecha Elbichem. So Tesla Megillah has the following question. When we say Sfiras HaOmer, you probably remember, what do we say after Sfiras HaOmer? We make a bracha, Ashrecha Yishanu, and Besos Yitzvon al Sfiras HaOmer, according to many Rishonim, it's a mitzvah same in our Torah, it's a big machlokes of Rishonim. But our Rishonim holds it in Daraisa. And then afterwards we say something, at least those who are minimalists, such as I, we don't like to say too much. It's not healthy. So we say, HaRacham Amri Yachzilonu, Avodah Asbe Samigdash, Mkerem, Neheri, Amen, Amen, Salah. We ask Hashem, do we still have a Samigdash? So Taisi has the Kasha, not just Taisi, many Rishonim has this Kasha. The Balamor has this Kasha, the end of Psalchim, and other Rishonim has the Kasha as well. Why don't we say for other mitzvahs that are Zechel Amigdash also, HaRacham Amri Yachzilonu, Avodah Asbe Samigdash? For example, what other mitzvahs Zechel Amigdash that you know? I just mentioned one of them. That we take all 7 days, we say. Really, we should take it one day. But we do it all 7 days in the Mikdash, Takana Bechem and Zakah, and Gemara and Silkim and Malach. So why should we say after the Lulav, let's make the bracha, Asher, Kiddushan, Mitzel, Zim, Sivano, what bracha we say? Al, the Tilas, the Lulav, and then say, Arachem and Achzim, Lulav. No, what do you say to that? Not that Kasha. Very good Kasha. And Sfira Solomon, we do say it. What's the difference? So Rav Soloveitchik said, Shad, based on the Balamor, I'm Sokhin, but Taisa Megillah, he also claimed, that's what Tosfos is saying, it's not so clear. But whatever the case is, he said the following. Because in the case of Sfiras HaOmer, something is missing. What's missing in the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer? There are two elements in the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. One is what element? The Torah says, V'svartim lechem b'machas ha-shabbos, v'yom adiachem b'somer ha-tnufa, shemo shabbos ha-tzmiros t'yeva, ad mi'machas ha-shabbos ha-shiri t'izru chamishim yom. There are two mitzvahs in Sfiras HaOmer. One is to cut the Omer, correct? The Omer has to be cut, harvested, and then there's the mitzvah of counting from when to when. From Pesach till Shavuos, correct? So there are two elements. Do we have Sfiras HaOmer today? The first element of the mitzvah? No, we don't have it. It's missing. So that's why, as Rashi said, because something is missing in the mitzvah, what do we say? HaRacham HaMiyach, we ask Hashem to restore the Beis HaMikdash to us so we can have the mitzvah fulfilled in toto, in its entirety, correct? Fully. Mashen Kein. A mitzvah like Lulav, it's exactly the same mitzvah, no? There's no distinction the way I take the lulav today, the way it was taken as Malach Mikdash. It's Hainu Hach, it's the identical mitzvah. Just the identical mitzvah. Therefore, as you said, there's no need to say, he was Medayik in Loshen Tzeis Megillah and Achof, and the Balbod Yen Psochim, and a few other Mishenim also like that. And therefore, my point simply of all this is simply to try to get us into the Shtimung, if you will, of the whole idea of the 3-week period before Tisha B'Av they were about to had on this coming Sunday, and the fact of the matter is that you know there's another din which is mentioned by the Magen Avraham, a very difficult din to understand, namely not saying Shevianah in the 3 weeks. Why? Are you familiar with that din? Why not? What's wrong with saying Shevianah? And is this a din, shall we say, having to do with Avelos? No, it has nothing to do with Avelos. How do I know that? Because the din is that the Gemara says the Brach is Avishta, and it's called Shemanah of Halacha. The Gemara says that if a person, let's say, God forbid, a person loses a parent, and that parent leaves the person a sizable Yerusha. So what's the halacha? The halacha is you make actually two brachas, brach dynamis, and you make a second bracha, namely, Shechianu on the Yerusha. So you see, apparently, Shechianu and Avelos are not necessarily an oxymoron, not a contradiction. They're not contradictory. It's possible to have Shechianu and to be an Avelos, God forbid. So what kind of halach is this? The Magen Avraham is saying, so why don't we say Shechianu during this period of time? The answer is that this period of time is the Zman of Peronis. It's a time of, which is not so positive for Klal Yisrael, and therefore as a result of that, we don't say Shechianu. Okay, so I think just maybe just more, just two or three more comments, and then I will perhaps either do something else or spare you. I was going to mention that something which is very fascinating. It is, I actually brought it with me. Someone gave it to me, a copy of, you know, there's something that we say on Tisha B'Av, which is called the tefillah called Nachin. I assume you're familiar with it. Nachin is the tefillah that's added in the Shemoneh Esrei, in the Ashkenazic, shall we say, version of the tefillah. And there's a language in the Nusach Ashkenaz which people have a lot of difficulty with. It says over there, we bewail the fact, we bemoan the fact, we lament the fact that Hashem, in effect, we are mourning the destruction of what? Of the Beis HaMikdash, and also it mentions Al Ha'ir Ha'Avela V'Abzuya V'Shomema, a city that is what? That is in mourning. Bezuya, and he translates the word Bazuy. Bazuy means that is what?
Disgraced.
Disgraced. V'Shomema, desolate. And it goes on. Ha'Avela Mibli Baneha, Acharev Mimon Oseha. Somehow there are no habitations in the city of Yerushalayim. Habzuya mikvoda, there's no kavod to Yerushalayim. Hashomeim amen Yoshe, no one is living in Yerushalayim. V'yoshevetz v'yosha chalfu ki shakara shalo yalada. It's like a barren woman who did not give birth. Anyone knows Yerushalayim, I assume you are about, how many, that's why, Sabah Hanira. How far are you from Yerushalayim there? 10 minutes?
Half hour.
Half hour?
20. Traffic.
Ah, traffic. That's how you go at 3 o'clock in the morning. Traffic. The truth of the matter is, I want to tell you something. I drive in Manhattan from time to time. Manhattan is in New York City. Well, no, the Five Towns is not connected to Manhattan. There's a borough called Manhattan, New York City. I sometimes have to drive in the middle of the city of Manhattan. You know what it's like? Gehenna on earth. I don't know how else to describe it. Not only that, I have to park. You know what it costs me to park over there? $30 for a half hour, for an hour, whatever it may be, and all these... that's a great business to be in, the parking business in New York City, especially in Manhattan, where they have come out of your block, there's another parking garage. Anyway, but so you have that situation. Here, among the thousand reasons to move to Eretz Israel, traffic here is non-existent. You'll say, what? What are you talking about? You'll tell me. You don't drive in Manhattan. I can be stuck in gridlock in Manhattan for hours. What do you suggest? I'm sorry?
Take the train.
Take the train. Okay, that's an idea. They have what they call those Ubers and the like, etc. So I could do all of that. There are choices, obviously, but relative among the thousand reasons to make Aliyah, you want to avoid traffic. What do you say about the reason? I have a thousand reasons why I list, and in the last 22 years I've been listed probably about 175. Came out every day, there's a certain school I taught at. Every single day I would list another reason why I came to Eretz Yisrael. One of them is I want to be zochet to Birchas Kohanim. Every day I'm very mocked by Birchas Kohanim. I love Kohanim. Any Kohanim over here? Why not one Kohen in the room? How could that be? I love Kohanim. I'm very mocked to give them Yashar Koach. You probably noticed it. Those who know me, I had the two or three rabbis who also gave Yashar Koach to Kohanim. I run after all the Kohanim in my shul. They, by now, usually once or twice a year that you could testify to. I run after all the Kohanim. I give them, you know why? They're giving, basically, I'm getting a bracha from whom? Who's giving me the bracha? Hashem. B'som u'tshmi adonai Yisrael, v'ani avarachem. A parashay noso. Hashem is the one who's giving us the bracha. The Kohen is only a what? He's a kind of pipeline. He's a shunt. He's a tzinor. U'mavir tabracha. He's the one who's essentially shunting the bracha to me. Is there anything better than getting a bracha from Hashem's bracha? What do you say? Wow. On a daily basis. You guys are zolche. I assume there are some Kohanim over here, I imagine. There are?
Yeah.
Thank God, Baruch Hashem. So, every day you get a bracha from Hashem's bracha. You don't have to run after some, I don't know what, some whom, some guru somewhere. You get a bracha direct from Hashem's bracha. What can be greater than that? What do you say? Mind-boggling. Anyway, so they asked, and this Nusach and the Nachem and Tisha B'Av, how can we say it? Rishonim were very troubled by saying something in Davening that is Dover Shkorim, that smacks of a lie. Isn't this a lie? So there were many who changed the Nusach. I want to go into all the people who changed the Nusach. They gave them my Balabatim. They told me this Tisha B'Av, Kvod Arav, Nishaneh et HaNusach. Osher Nikachat HaNusach Shira Gorin, Zatzal. Osher Amchaim Dor Alevi, Zatzal. Osher Adavit Shlush, Shlita, Zatzal. Osho, Professor of Haim Alevel Gurbach, Zatzal. I have a long list. So they said, no, Harab, Maskin? So, Harab, Lo Maskin. Lo Maskin Bichlal. Why is Harab Lo Maskin? Because I heard from the Rab, Shehu Lo Iskin. Which Rab am I talking about, Al Soloveitchik? Why was he not Maskin? Because he said, as long as we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, Yerushalayim is Chorev. The Shita Saram of me is that Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash are inextricably intertwined. You can't separate one from the other. No Mikdash. That means Yerushalayim is Chorei. So the question is, yeah, but language. Hachareva mimalosea, habzuya mikvoda, hashomema me'en yoshev. Yes. Without the Beis HaMikdash, all of this is true. There's a text of Baba Basra, a very famous text. Kimitzion Teitzei Torah. There's a wonderful fellow on my shul, Rabbi Shlichman Shlita. He has a sefer that he wrote, among the many svarim that he wrote. One of the svarim is called Kimitora Teitzei Tzion. You're probably familiar with the other expression, I assume. Kimitzion Teitzei Torah. He wrote a sefer called Kimitora Teitzei Tzion. He shows every single parasha is connected to Yerushalayim, to the Beis HaMikdash. Beautiful sefer. I have it on my shtender. I look at it every Shabbos. I even quote it from time to time. Beautiful sefer. It's in English. I mean, do you read that language?
Yeah.
You're familiar with English? Ah, okay. I should tell him to translate it to Hebrew for you. Or it's better in English. Which you prefer?
It's better in English.
Better with English. Okay, I hope you're working on your Hebrew skills. Excellent. Baruch Hashem. Ashrecha v'ashrecha v'cha. Kedai lirkosh tasafa azo. Will only help you. Why is it that people grew up in Eretz Yisrael in a better situation than people like me who grew up in Chutz Aretz? I'm an Amoritz. So why did I grow up in Chutz Aretz? I didn't know any Hebrew. So it took me so long to acquire the Hebrew language, I spent years. And people here, I have grandchildren who are little tatales and mamales. One of them, every Motzei Shabbos, a young girl, calls me every Motzei Shabbos with questions she has in the parasha. So I'm never home Motzei Shabbos. After I'm done, I run for my life. I can't answer any of her questions. She only speaks Hebrew. So she has all these shelot chodrot v'nukvot. I don't know what to do. So she tells her mother, it's my daughter, she says, Saba zeh, who loves tzidi? He's not serious. He can't answer my question. She's 7 years old. She knows chumash like the back of her hand. 7 years old. Not all chumash, only gracious. She seems to know Shemos, and also see now she's going Yikra. Two chumashim she knows by heart. 7 year old girl! I'm not talking about 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 year old grandchildren of Halokha Mishimush and Tanah by heart. And there are Sdorim and Mishnayas in their pocket. I don't know any Mishnayas. I barely know chumash. Here and there, I learn a little bit of chumash. I have no choice. Once a week we read the Parsha. What am I supposed to do? And people ask me questions. I got to answer them. I can't look like a total country bumpkin. At that time, I can't look like a complete nitwit without a scintilla of any intelligence. So I learned the parasha, but I can't keep up with these people. So he was a very good thing to acquire. Another one, the thousand reasons to move to Eretz Yisrael. I didn't list all the rest because then I'd be here the rest of the night. And, you know, Tzar Bar Chaim is an Issa the Reisah, the most mishayim. So I won't, I'll have Rachmanis. I'm just simply trying to basically share with you that Tisha B'Av is, there's so much to Tisha B'Av. Let me just mention another very beautiful idea, which I heard also from Soloveitchik. That I'm going to end. I'm sorry, I'll get to Matviach. Go, go, go. Really? Hashem should bless you. I'll just mention one last idea. There's a, among the Haftarahs that we read after Tisha B'Av, it's called the Shibud Mechenta, the seven Haftarahs of Nechama. They're very fascinating. We start with Nachamu, Nachamu Ami, that the Nevi'im were, in effect, Hashem told the Nevi'im, console Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people, after the Churban HaMikdash were completely beside themselves. They were lost. They were engulfed with tragedy, and there's probably nothing comparable to it. So the Nevi'im had told to console Klal Yisrael. Dabra Alev Yushalayim B'kiru Alev, Kibol Asma, Kinyur Tzavona, Yushalayim has been terribly punished. So the Nevi attempts to console Klal Yisrael. What does Klal Yisrael say the second Haftarah? V'tom etzion azavani Hashem. We're not interested in any Nevi'im. Whom do we want to console us? The Almighty. Directly. We don't want any intermediaries. We don't want mediation. We don't need adversaries. We don't need shlichim. We want HaKadosh Baruch Himself to console us. So we refuse to accept any surrogates. And that's the second Haftarah. Then comes the Nevi'im will go back to Hashem and say, Ani Asarar Adon Ruchama. They refuse to be consoled, Klal Yisrael. Because we only want the real McCoy. Where's the real McCoy? Upstairs. We want him to console us. So the fourth Haftarah is, Hashem basically gives in, Anochi, Anochi, Hu Menachemchem. Hashem says, I have no choice. I have to consult. Klal Yisrael, all the Torahs that follow all the way to Rosh Hashanah speak of this idea, this notion that Hashem is going to console us. Certainly Tisha B'Av has in it two elements. As I'll say that Mashiach was born on Tisha B'Av. So Tisha B'Av has embedded in it, on the one hand, elements of Tanit, of a fast day, a very serious fast day. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Shiny Tisha B'Av, the Huch B'Lo Tzaras, a lot of Tzaras happened on Tisha B'Av, as I mentioned at the very beginning. Well, Tisha B'Av is a day that's laden with sorrow, with Tzar. On the other hand, there's Avelos in Tisha B'Av, of course. But there's also another element of Tisha B'Av, namely the fact that Mashiach is born on Tisha B'Av, the fact that Tisha B'Av, it's also the kind of the Gemara calls in Makas Yeridu Tzorach Aliyah, where a person has to descend in order to ascend. And so even though we descend into Avelos, but we know that just as the Gemara says at the end of Makas, Rabbi Kiva is the one who said it. He started laughing, he saw the foxes prowling on the Temple Mount. Shul and Hilchubo. Why was he laughing? Just as Hashem brought about the Churban, we know Hashem is also going to bring about Be'ez Hashem is brought the Korah Mamish in your schus of your learning Torah and the schus of you people who are so wow, excited about Torah. I ask him which sport he's into and he tells me Torah, crazy! Pashut, not normal! Beyond Pashut, beyond the pale of reason! Ashrecha, Hashem should bless you and all of you! She continued to learn Torah, Be'ez Hashem, and to Dima Torah, no question, will bring out the Gula Shleva. I want to mention one more thing. I brought with me a sefer today. I was there today, there was a levaya of one of the Dolei Ador. You probably didn't know him. I met him many, many times. Through my brother. I have a brother who's a Rebbe in the Mir Yeshiva in Yerushalayim, a big tzaddik, a malach, tremendous tzaddik, Rav Aaron David. So he introduced me to our Finkel Zatzal many, many times. He's a shvagar of Rav Levinson. He's a son of the Chazak, Rav Chaim Zeh. Chaim Zeh was the mashkiach of the Mir Yeshiva. This Rav Eli Finkel, Rabbi Finkel, Zatzal, is the brother-in-law of Rabbi Nevinson, the Rav of the Yeratika, the old city. Now, his son is the Rav of the Yeratika. His son has introduced this Rabbi Finkel many, many times. I heard him say Nama Shurim, and I also heard him say Shmuzin in the Mir Yeshiva, and I also heard him in Brachfeld, because I have a grandson who lives in Brachfeld, and Nama Shanem, whatever the case is. So, he was a sweetheart. Moslik mitvash v'nofes sufim. And who do you remind me of? Remind me of this Mechaber, Rabbi Sharon Stern, the Tzad Divach. I was there at the Shmuzim from him. Tens and tens of Shmuzim, because of the Shmuzim, my brother. He was a Mashkiach in Kamenitz. There's a beautiful sefer here. I have a friend of mine called the Mashkiach in Kamenitz, but primarily, besides being a Goyim by Torah, they're both a Goyim. But you know what's so beautiful about them? Their personalities. Both of them were sweethearts. They were such nice people. They greeted everyone with Seder Pum Yafas with a smile, with such friendliness. They cared about every Jew. They were sensitive to the sensibilities of every single person that they met. And Abaye Finkel Zatzal was certainly someone who personified the ability. He was a walking Musa Sefer in many, many respects. And the fact that he even spoke to me, that's a nace. That's almost a nace nigla. An overt miracle. Is that, why should he have any connection? I don't learn the Mir Yeshiva. I'm not part of that entire circle. But Bechalzos, their notion of chesed. I just want to end with one last story. I always tell the story. I'm very fond of it. I came to Israel 22 years ago. And we moved actually. And we actually moved temporarily to a place because our place where we presently live is not ready. I've been living in the place, came out 22 years. And so what happened was, I don't know if you heard the story. Anyway, so I'm telling the story. He's one of my rabbis. I have a lot of rabbis. I daven in a shul with a lot of wonderful rabbis. He's one of them. Talmud Mubak. Wow, not Talmud, he's my Rebbe Mubak. I'm a Talmud of his. And of his family, of his parents, and of his entire family. The kids are. So I come there to sell, and I'm living in a place temporarily for about close to a year, a little bit less than a year, and then we moved. How do we move? You call a moving truck, and obviously people come and move you. So we call the moving truck, and I arrange for a moving company to come in. I'm waiting in the morning, early in the morning, 8 o'clock in the morning for people to come. They don't show up till 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I'm waiting outside. I have literally my tire lift that I brought from Woodstock. I came from Toronto. I lived in Toronto. Toronto is there's a country called Canada. I don't know if you're aware of it. Are you aware? Heard of it. Okay. North of the United States. And most of the people live actually at the border, at the tip. Anyway, so I have all my stuff out there. And all our appliances. And a lot of Svarim. I have plenty of Svarim, Baruch Hashem. And the guy doesn't show up. I tried to call him, but I didn't have a telephone. At that time, there were no telephones. There is some value to the old generation. There's some value to the telephones. There was no telephone. Zero. I know where the contact is gone. He finally shows up at 4 o'clock. I was exasperated beyond belief. That means I was slightly annoyed. And so, the guy tells me, okay, Iganu, Shabbat Matribim. At 6 o'clock, he tells me, Ani Ayef, I'm tired. Ayef, Lakikata, you just came here at 4 o'clock. Ayitamun Yom Pababoka, Alaboka, come show me. Should have been early in the morning. Come. He says, he tells me, Kvad Arab, Ani Ayef. Zero. Machar, Ani Jose. I wanted to, I don't want to tell you what I wanted to do. I come from New York. That's what I wanted to do. Essentially, I wanted to give him a hug. I said to myself, Vince, me, what am I going to do? Most of the stuff was not moved. 98% of the stuff was not moved. They didn't do anything. And they also came in out like a horse and buggy, one of these horse company wagons from Chattanooga. Crazy! My wife was having apoplexy. That's not good. And I was, forget about apoplexy, I wanted to pulverize the gentleman. My wife says to me, go to Yerushalayim. Maybe you'll find someone. Okay. I didn't have a car. I didn't tell you the story about that. I should tell you that story too. Maybe after this one. Anyway, so I go to Yerushalayim on a bus and two buses. Get there approximately 7:30, quarter to 8. How many moving companies do you think are available at 7:30, quarter to 8 to go ahead and move me at that moment just because Avishai gave the request that they move in? Naria one. And I came back the Pachei Nefesh. I was really... just said to myself, here I come, Terence, so. And look at this. What kind of a Kabbalah's punim is this? I come back about 9:15, 9:30, and I discover the following. There are approximately between 50 and 100 cars, if you want to call them cars, tenders, minivans, you know, all these Israeli jalopy type mechanisms that are apparently saw the plight that we were in, and they decided to move us all the entire neighborhood. And that night, the whole night, these 50 to 100 cars moved all of my chafotzim into my new place. The Sipur Amiti, Va'adayin, I'm still crying over it. That's my introduction to Eretz Yisrael. I saw chesed, what it's all about. Matter of fact, we had a Vasikin Minyan next morning. And I went out and I just bought whatever I could possibly buy. I actually found, discovered some interesting place that was open early in the morning, around 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning, and I had this massive breakfast that we put together. Massive. I had somebody even make scrambled eggs, all kinds of pancakes, whatever I could possibly think of. In America, I enjoyed. And Arayom Hazeh, of the group of people that moved us, about 20 of them, number them down in the shul. You don't know them probably. The old timers. And a few others who still live in the neighborhood. Arayom Hazeh, the Yedidei Nefesh. They're some of my closest chaver. All this came about, this chesed, unbelievable chesed. One last story, since I said I'll mention it, and then I'll let you know, as you probably think he's the Talmud of Donald Trump. No. I don't know what to do with that. Maybe you'll tell me who to vote for in the elections. I vote for the every presidential election. I have a problem. Am I allowed to say this publicly?
Yeah.
I cannot vote for Mrs. Clinton for a whole variety of reasons that I cannot begin to describe right now. We're cutting too long. And the other gentleman, if you want to call him that, to my humble opinion, is not operating with a full deck. I'm being very polite. Something is missing. Not something. Ikar chasem ha-sefer. That's an expression you find in Chazal. Ikar chasem ha-sefer. So who do I vote for? So the Chazal says, b'char b'mi tarah. Choose the lesser of two evils. Zera b'zera. This one's evil and that one's evil. I'd rather vote for evil than evil. I don't know if you remember. Anyway, so, the kids are, I had to get a driver's license. I've been driving in the United States for many years, decades. Can't get a driver's license over here, okay? I get into the car, there are three other people taking the test with me in the car. I found it a little bit unprofessional. Would you not say so? Slightly. I don't want to be a misogynist or accused of being anti-women. There were three women in the car. All of us took the test. The three women passed, and the male, that was me, failed. And I thought I was the best driver. I couldn't understand why I failed. I asked the Bochein, why did I fail? He said, I don't have to tell you anything. Nikshalta! That's what he tells me. You failed, that's it. I don't have to tell you anything. What kind of a chutzpah is that? What can he tell me? I thought I drove. Wow. There's no driver like myself. Long shooting. So what did I do? That time I was associated with the yeshiva in Haratzion. In Haratzion, I was a rabbi in the Hesdi yeshiva for 2 years, my first 2 years in Haratzion. So I went to Chabriman Yaakov Natil, Zechatzal Dibracha, who was the Menal Shivati Chodit. He learned in Hebron, and he knew the Sarat Achmura. He knew the Minister of Transportation. He learned with him in the yeshiva in Hebron. Could you imagine that? So I said to Rav Yaakov, Eshal HaSodi Tova, Litkasher Elav, Ve'ani Matzot Barer, Lama Nechshalti, Ma Siti? Why did I fail the test? He says, then Shubayah, Rav David. He gets on the phone, in 5 minutes, he's speaking to the Minister of Transportation of the State of Israel. I said to myself, hey, what is going on here? Could you imagine the United States, if I had to speak to the Minister of Transportation in Washington, I don't know exactly, how long would it take me to get him? Maybe 15 years. By then he would have retired and probably who knows what, where he'd be. So he gets it in 5 minutes. So he tells the Yaakov Nativ, tell him to come with that call, the Barrera there, and the Barrera there, he said, I'll clarify the matter, I'll find out what happened. 5 minutes later, he calls Rabbi Nativ back and tells him, Tagid the Kvod HaRav, who nichshal, why did he fail? He drove too carefully. The other three passed because they drove like maniacs. Mitzurafim. That's the Minhag HaMedina. And it says, HaKol K'Minhag HaMedina, Tamishim Psochim. Chazal speak about Minhag HaMedina many, many times, all over Shas. So what happened? So I said to the, so I get on the phone, the Minister of Transportation, Kvod HaSar! I'm speaking to the Sar, the Minister of Transportation of the State of Israel. Mani yaseh, ani yatim lecha itza. Tibachem b'makom. I should take the test in the yeshiva. I don't know why. I know what the yeshiva gives out driving tests. The members of the Misfara Rishui, Tachmura, can the Rishu king? Fine. I had to wait a few weeks. Not a few weeks, I had to wait a few months. I take the test, it's raining and pouring, cats and dogs. Unbelievable, I couldn't see anything. Who gets into the car? A Talmud of mine in my shir. He works in the Misfara Rishui. Nice Yemenite fella, a cute little fella. Big Tom Choch, he's actually a Ram today. And at that time he needed some extra cash. So he worked for the Misfara Rishui. And so he gets into the car and he says, and it's pouring cats and dogs. He says, Harab Roem Mashur, do you see something? I said, no, Shum Davar. Tatchil! Begin to drive. I passed the test, no problem at all. Walk at the Eretz Yisrael. There are a lot of beautiful aspects there, it's well. Chesed writ large. It's like one big happy family. There are a few squabbles here and there. You probably noticed. But you know something? At the end of the day, during the time of crisis, Am Yisrael here is together. We're like glue. And unfortunately, there are many crises, no shortage of them in this country. At the end of the day, achdus, that's what we need. We have to treat each other, especially before Tisha B'Av, sensitivity. We have to try to do our best to help every other Jew, literally, the entire world, no matter where you are. And if we do that, no question, Hashem is Baruch will bless us. Alvai v'shem zocher, t'binyan tziv yushalayim, v'er v'er v'er.